Hey, this is Brian Parker, new video. I've litigated this one debt buyer, Crown Asset Management, and I've yet to do a real good video on it. So today we're gonna do that. Someone asked about it and I thought, my goodness. There was this one particular case I did and I'm gonna use it today for our instruction examination, but I want you to know Crown Asset Management is a big jet dunk. Debt junk buyer of a large magnitude to rival sometimes Midland Credit, which we just did a video on. But the end of this video, I want you to see the securitization of it all. Now, I always talk to you about securitization. I think you get it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Sometimes I do. But as I was doing the show notes for this one, it popped into my head a good, easy way for you to understand securitization in regards to junk debt buyers and the absolute bar to them winning any case if you choose to follow what I'm telling you. So here we go. So here is a lawsuit from Crown Asset Management. Shazam. All right. So what I want you to go is immediately go to the body of the complaint and you will see there's no reference to a debtor. There's a reference to somebody, a defendant, but the debtor's name, which is in the caption, I don't want to be saying anything out of school here, but it's not in the body of the complaint. Why is that? Because this is a mill operation. Remember we talked about a mill pleading? They try to fit a one-size-fits-all lawsuit into a way that shows so lack of care, I'm going to show you, that you can drive a truck right through the hole they create and win this case easily. So let's take a look at paragraph 2. Let's put up just paragraph 2, Shazam. And look, they are saying, upon use of the credit account, defendant became indebted to the plaintiff. Remember, the plaintiff is Crown Asset Management. The defendant is my client. We'll call her Dorothy Detta. And they're saying, if you look, upon use of the credit card, that means when Dorothy Detta signed up with, in this case, it's Comenity Bank, when she used the card, it was activated. And there's some legal basis to that as far as lack of contract, but we won't go down that road as far as account stated. But in this paragraph two, they're saying plaintiff and defendant activated the debt upon defendant's use. Well, I believe this debt was created in 2020. The sale of the debt, which we'll look into also, was 2022. Here, Crown Asset saying we became the creditor, the original creditor, in 2020. Check that out. So, upon use of the credit account, defendant became indebted to the plaintiff. Impossible. Crown Asset wasn't around at this point. It's still with the original creditor and Miss Detta. So already, and check that out. They only have four paragraphs to screw up. So you figure there's no way they're screwing up with only four. They're already screwed up in the second paragraph by claiming a complete falsehood. So it's impossible. But this is the remember these words, the pretzel pleadings, that occur when they're trying to fit a square securitization peg into a round debt account hole. You'll see what I mean. So Crown Asset tells us in paragraph one that Comenity was the original creditor, while in paragraph two, Crown Asset saying it's the original creditor. So keep that in mind. Look at the bill of sale. Let's put the bill of sale up. Shazam. I'm trying to think of another way of saying Shazam, but Shazam. So you can see this is your average bill of sale. By the way, on my membership website, collectionstoppersolutions.com, you'll see two answers in words from two different law firms. The actual complaint I'm examining today, a counter affidavit, and the actual lawsuit and also a counterclaim in Word that you may want to check out and use if you want in your state with your state rules. But look at the bill of sale, and you can see, and this is what really fascinates me, what are they assigning? They're trying to claim that the commodity is given the debt to Crown Asset. So remember the rule. You must have the debtor's name, debtor's account number, and it must be fit within the time restrictions. Well, already we know from paragraph 2 of the complaint that they're saying the whole thing occurred in 2020. This sale occurred in 2021, so who knows what the heck's going on. But anyway, I digress as always. They're assigning all rights, title, in and interest of seller to those certain receivables, judgments, or evidences of debt. So they, again, there's this aversion to the word debt, like it's a four-letter word. They can't just say debt, and there's a good reason. Remember at the end, we're going to talk about the securitization of it all. But there's nothing of any certainty in these receivables, and nothing was transferred or sold. They even call it certain receivables. Which ones? Anyway, they say, look at Exhibit 1, and it's an asset schedule. And if you look at Exhibit 1, Schedule 1 to Bill of Sale Asset Schedule, Shazam, do you see anybody's name there? Do you see anybody's account number? You won't. It's just the way they do business. And 90% of these, as the case in Green versus PRA discusses, check out Green versus PRA. It's just everything you need to win an assignment case or chain of title cases in Green versus PRA. And the court also went into great detail about how 90% of these things are defaulted. Well, you and I live in the 10% and we're trying to expand it. So they don't take great care. And here, they're really not assigning anything. Also, look at the bill of sale signatures, Shazam. They're claiming the money is paid a month before anything is signed and agreed to. Nowhere in America do you get the money and then agree to contract. It's like shoot and then aim. It just doesn't happen. So there's no great care here. Again, there's just certain receivables and accounts. Why don't they say debt? We'll find out. There is, as I advertised, a reason for all of this. Now, remember, we use their documents against them. Again, what's my mantra? Bum, 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 bum. That's right. I just gave you a hint. Of course, if you've watched all my videos, we use their documents against them. And this is what we're doing. We're looking at the complaint. We've already nailed it with paragraph 2. We looked at the bill of sale, which, by the way, wasn't really referenced in the lawsuit. But we looked at their bill of sale, and there's just nothing showing the debt of Dorothy Detta transferring from one place to another. And indeed, Crown Asset shot itself in the foot when it said it was right there at the beginning of this baby when it wasn't. So let's look at this came to me in the night, and this case is, I'm trying to explain this. So let's put up the bill of sale again. Boom. Hopefully this explains it. So the bill of sale appears to somewhat be signed in 2021. This debt was created sometime around 2020. So Comenity is saying we're selling it to Crown Asset. However, here's the securitization of it all. Why are they not saying the word debt? Why are they saying the word account? Okay, here's what happens. Comenity will securitize its debt. And you'll see from my counter affidavit that I've attached on my membership website with this video how they securitize everything. I think I listed it right attached to the counter affidavit. Here's what it's going to look like. I'm pointing at the camera. This is the 2020 annual report of Comenity Bank. And I've highlighted how they are specifically saying we are securitizing all of our credit card receivables. So what is a receivable? What's going? Where's everything going? For securitization to work, a debt must be sold to a securitized trust. It then is off the bottom line of the creditor, which is Comenity. They then can get more money to spread around or make infrastructure changes at a lower interest rate because they'd have less bad debt on their bottom line. So the secure trust wants some security. They've paid Comenity for the debt, so they get ownership of the debt. They give back to Comenity the right to collect. Now Comenity is a servicer of the debt. They're not an owner. So how securitization works is the creditor sells the debt to the secure trust. Now the debtor defaults, unfortunately. That debt is currently being serviced, it isn't owned by Comenity, and is charged off, and all the accounts supposedly are sold to Crown Asset. The fallacy and the reason why securitization has put a hole in this is that the debt is in a secure trust. It must be assigned back to Comenity first to be sold then in, let's say, 2021 to Crown Asset. That assignment never occurs. So who is suing, whether it's Citibank that I did this week or Crown Asset? They don't have ownership of the debt. That's why you see we are owning the accounts, certain receivables, without any word of the debt. And I think they even went as far as to go parts of the indebtedness, whatever that is, or evidence of the indebtedness is what they use. It's such a wishy-washy weasel word, not saying anything. It's called, and I call it, pretzel pleading. They try not to say, and they don't say the word debt, they say accounts, because honestly, that's really what's being passed around. And these aren't account collectors or debt collectors. There is no debt. So I hope you understand securitization of it all, why when you see the account word accounts instead of debt, why that is. They're actually being truthful at the same time they're saying they have the right to sue you on a debt that they don't have a right to sue you on. It's pretzel pleadings. So that weird cagey language, and I'll repeat it again, all rights, title, and interest of seller to those certain receivables, judgments, or evidences of debt described in the asset schedule, which describes nothing. You're using their documents against them. Now, with all this securitization information, the examination of the complaint, the holes that you could drive a truck through in their assignments, bill of sale, what's to be done? What's the second most, or maybe the most important thing or mantra? Let's hear it. Hello? That's right again. The counter affidavit must include all of this stuff. And if you look at my counter affidavit on my membership website, you'll see everything I just said is in the counter affidavit in Word for you to use. So I'll have the answer. I'll have two answers for you. A counterclaim in Word, a counter affidavit for you to use, and the show notes, and I think the actual lawsuit that this case is based upon. Again, it's four paragraphs. You think they can get through four paragraphs without screwing anything up? Look at that paragraph two again. It's ridiculous, but you put all that into your counter affidavit just like I did, and you'll drive a truck through this case, and the judge will be in the passenger seat with you, moving right along with you. So, that's how you break down, manage, and beat Crown Asset Management with their own documents, with your counter affidavit, while they're examining the securitization of it all. All right, Brian Parker, like, love, subscribe, and we'll keep banging away at this. I'll try to explain securitization better. I hope I kind of broke it down today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this is good, and thank you for watching. And for those comments, people, the comments have made, I'm going to do some here. It's my hair. People have called it a squirrel, a rug, a toupee, but while it's messy, it is my hair. Personal stuff. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.